This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, July 1st. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Facebook groups. They are for your knitting club, connecting with your coworkers, or finding out where your favorite band is playing next week. But they're also being used right now by people who are vehemently opposed to some of the social distancing measures states are putting in place. And they're using Facebook to organize protests and target local officials. Our reporter Jeffrey Horwitz will join us to explain what they're doing and how Facebook is handling it after these headlines. Speaking of Facebook, we've talked about how civil rights groups have been pushing for a Facebook boycott in the past few days. Well, today's the day that gets started. Companies as diverse as Denny's, Ford, and Clorox are pulling their advertising from the platform to protest how it monitors speech. Facebook has come under fire for how it handles misinformation and hate speech for a while now, but our reporter Sahil Patel says this round of boycotts is something new.
What's really different is the magnitude at which it's happening. This is the most amount of companies we have seen come out this directly and this loudly in not only being critical of what they say are Facebook's policies when it comes to hate speech on its platform, its moderation of such content on its platform. They're actually making commitments to not spend money on Facebook, which they have not historically done at this clip. And these are some big names, right? It's Unilever, it's Verizon, it's brand marketers that we all know and have heard of who are saying that they will pause some of their advertising on Facebook.
There have been a lot of changes to the meal delivery industry since the pandemic began. And here's another one. Uber is in talks to buy Postmates for about $2.6 billion. Here's our reporter Carol Lombardo with more.
It was highly competitive to begin with. There were all these players fighting for our orders. And then the pandemic happened, and now we're using their services more than ever. But they're still having trouble turning a profit because it is such a competitive space. So they're right now rapidly consolidating and rushing to find partners. So we just saw Grubhub and Just Eat Takeaway, which is a European player in the space, combine forces. They agreed to merge a few weeks ago. And now Uber, which had actually been in talks to buy Grubhub and was kind of left at the altar at the last minute, has turned its attention to someone else, which is Postmates.
And Netflix has announced that it's planning to invest $100 million in banks and credit unions that focus on serving Black communities. The company says it was already moving on this initiative before the killing of George Floyd, but that the recent wave of protests has accelerated it. The investment makes up 2% of Netflix cash holdings. Coming up after the break, how Facebook users are targeting public health officials and what the platform is doing to respond. We've seen coronavirus cases spike in recent days, and public health officials have been encouraging people to do things like social distance and wear masks. Some people see those directions as violations of their personal freedoms. They've started protesting and targeting some of those public health officials, and they're using Facebook to organize. Problem is, not all of these protesters' claims are true, leaving Facebook to figure out how to monitor that content. Our tech reporter Jeff Horwitz joins us now to explain. Jeff, thanks so much for being here.
Happy to.
All right. So explain to me how these protesters are using Facebook to target health officials.
So this has been going on for a while. There are definitely a whole bunch of groups that are dedicated to reopen. And in April, Facebook actually shut down some groups that were trying to organize protests in direct contravention of public health orders. Like, you know, the order said stay at home and wear a mask, and they were showing up at the Capitol and not wearing masks in large groups. And Facebook said that wouldn't be tolerated, and it took down a few things. But the thing that we were looking at was a push by some of the organizers of these protests to actually start live streaming protests in front of public health officers' homes, which they've been doing for the last couple of weeks. The idea was that basically they weren't getting the traction they wanted to with public officials, and so they needed to make it more personal.
And when you say groups, these are Facebook groups, and that's part of the reason that Facebook is getting involved here, right? They're setting up groups on Facebook.
Yeah, so there's kind of two elements of it. Well, we focused a lot on this one organization, which I'll say Freedom Angels, which was sort of putting out these suggestions and pushes for here's how you should go find your public health officer and either express your point of view in their front yard or harass them, depending on point of view. But then those guys were also getting amplified pretty heavily in sort of networks of reopen groups where people would sort of share their tips for how they were protesting and refusing to comply with public health orders, saying they should, say, wear masks into stores and, you know, sort of celebrating the resistance to that, so to speak.
What Facebook rules are they violating exactly?
So the interesting thing here is that the political action is in some ways really tightly intertwined with misinformation. So the Freedom Angels, for example, which has had about 20,000 followers on Facebook, and all their videos receive about 20,000 views for the successful ones, they are really dedicated to the idea that masks are not only an infringement upon individual liberty and perhaps the beginning of a slippery slope toward totalitarianism, but also that they deprive people of oxygen, causing dangerous hypoxia, and can potentially cause other health ills as well, psychological harm as well. So they have, obviously, the idea that masks are dangerous for adults or for anyone over the age of 2 who's capable of breathing and moving their hands doesn't really check out. It's something that Facebook's fact checkers have found to be inaccurate. But nonetheless, that's kind of one of the central rationales, is that these masks are deeply problematic and on a health basis. And so it's kind of the political efforts in which people are sort of expressing their views are very hard to disentangle from the things that are just flat out not correct.
And so that's really where Facebook is kind of going after them and saying, you know, you can't support violence and you can't be spreading misinformation. Those are against our rules specifically.
Well, let's take a step back before we assume, you know, that Facebook's going after them too much. I mean, Facebook did in April say that protesting in violation of public health orders, you know, when there was a mandatory order, wasn't going to be allowed. But the company has sort of not stopped people for calling for those things or for promoting protests that they have said will be in violation of those orders, or from sharing misinformation that justifies those protests with misinformation. I mean, so, you know, back in April, Facebook sort of referred to this sort of stuff, you know, telling people basically that denying the efficacy of social distancing as a public health measure was something that they considered to pose a risk of imminent harm to users, in the same way that posts suggesting that people could treat coronavirus by drinking bleach did, which was a very strong statement. It's just a question of, well, where are they now? And is perhaps the increasing politicization of mask wearing something that they have lost the appetite to fight over?
It sounds like this is also really tricky for Facebook, because these groups, this idea of Facebook groups, was supposed to be kind of the future of the platform, right?
Oh, I think it still is considered to be the future of the platform. And they're having, I mean, in the case of the anti-social distancing and anti-mask protests, these groups seem to have, in some instances, a pretty direct lineage from the anti-vaccination activists that Facebook said they were going to crack down on last year amid the sort of the measles outbreak, speaking of quaint and smaller pandemic situations. But the organization we wrote about, right, Freedom Angels, which is, you know, not a Facebook group, they're an organization, but they came straight out of the anti-vax protests. And this isn't the only front that Facebook is having this trouble with groups in right now. The Boogaloo Boys, Boogaloo being a code word for Civil War, which is a largely right-wing affiliated, very loosely knit ideology and collection of like meme-sharing folks on the internet. I mean, some of those guys, it was a Facebook Boogaloo forum in which the people who murdered 2 California law enforcement officers during the recent protests, that's where those guys met.
So what is Facebook now saying about this? And I guess really a bigger question is, how are public health officials who are being targeted by these groups responding?
So Facebook, after deliberating about it for 6 days, took down the videos of Freedom Angels protests in front of public health officials' homes. Facebook decided that videos held in front of their house were a violation of the platform's rules against doxing or releasing someone's personal information, since one could theoretically derive where that address was based on the fact that videos were being taken out front. But, you know, the sort of the larger question of, is Facebook going to police the facts behind the political opinions of people who are pushing against mask wearing and social distancing as being useful public health initiatives? What Facebook's going to be doing about that? I'm not totally sure the company is 100% clear on that.
And what are the public health officials saying?
Public health officials basically have told me that they view this as pretty scary. As one person put it, this is not something that his wife signed up for. It was harassment, at their private residence. And I mean, I think, you know, there have been a rash of people who've quit in following sort of this type of protest, both online and off. Nicole Quick, who was Orange County's public health officer, resigned after protests in front of her home. People were carrying a banner around at one of the protests against her, with her with a Hitler mustache in front of a swastika. You know, it gets rough. At a time when these folks are, I think, kind of under unprecedented stress, and per some of the organizations that support them or that coordinate among them, these folks are working 70, 80 hour weeks. You know, having folks that are out there kind of vilifying them is deflating at the very least.
At the very least. Our reporter, Jeff Horwitz, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. We've got more tech stories on WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, rate and review us. It really helps. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.